Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find Luke? We're going to locate Luke 22, beginning in verse 7. And that will set the table for us to receive the Lord's Supper, communion. But as you come there, I want to invite you to do a couple of important things, and that is to think about what it means to hold the sacred, and to touch the sacred, and then let the sacred touch you. You see, we learn in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God has demonstrated His great love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's our ultimate common denominator. Some people think their ultimate common denominator would be the country they've come from, the language they speak. It would be their culture, their customs, maybe the school they attend, even their kinfolk. No, your ultimate common denominator is Jesus. When you understand that Jesus loved you so much that He died on a bloody cross to cover the price of your sin, and when you understand that you're part of the body of Christ that wraps around this globe, then that creates a connection that transcends everything. You see, that's our ultimate common denominator, and today we come to celebrate what we have in common. The word communion is built on common. So as we take the bread and the cup, this is our communion. This identifies that we understand that Jesus took His body and it was beaten and bruised and broken for us. And then He took that cup and He created a new covenant for us. And this constitutes what connects us to the Lord and to each other. So in a few moments, we'll take those elements of communion, what we hold in common, and we'll be drawn closer to the Lord and each other. But to synchronize our thinking, let me ask you this question. Do you have any possessions that seem ordinary, but they're very special, even sacred to you? The word sacred simply means something that is of great value, something that you even venerate or lift high because it symbolizes something important in your life. I'll give you an example. There was a man who lived a long time ago named J.M. Barrie, born in 1860. He died in 1937. He was a Scottish writer, and J.M. Barrie was famous for one character that you all know about. He crafted Peter Pan. And Peter Pan was the flight of his imagination. We all know about Peter Pan, and he made a lot of money from that character in his writings. Well, he had a mother named Madeline, and she lived in Edinburgh, Scotland. And every week without fail, he would write his mother a letter and place within that letter a check to support his mother that he loved so much. Now, when Madeline would get that letter, most people would take the check and discard the envelope, but not Madeline. You see, that envelope became sacred to her because it had been touched by her son. And it held a gift of love from her son. So she neatly stacked those envelopes week in, week out for years in a drawer, and she kept them as sacred. There was another example from history. There was a man by the name of Admiral Lord Nelson, born in 1758, and he died in 1805 on October the 21st at the Battle of Trafalgar. If you've ever been to London, you've seen Admiral Lord Nelson's statue in the middle of Trafalgar Square, because the Battle of Trafalgar was a pivotal moment in British history. They were fighting Napoleon and the advance of French imperialism, and the British, they met them at Trafalgar. And who led the way? Admiral Lord Nelson. He defeated the French, but he sustained a wound that would prove to be fatal, and he died on October 21st. 1805. Well, he had a massive funeral, one of the largest gatherings in the history of London. They draped his casket with the British flag called the Union Jack. Thousands of military personnel were there. And at the completion of the service, one man tore a small piece off that flag, and it created a feeding frenzy. That flag was torn into pieces, and those who got a tiny tatter of that flag, cherished it for the rest of their life because it became a sacred memento of this national hero, Admiral Lord Nelson. Now let me move from literary and history to something really personal. These are some old items that are special to me. These are my father's boots and his cowboy hat. Now, my dad was a true Texas cowboy, and he was always kind of like John Wayne to me. I love my dad so much, and I'm Jay Jr., and when I was born in 1954, he rewarded himself by having a pair of handmade boots crafted. Now, these boots would hardly be even good for Goodwill. For most people, they would have no value. But I keep these boots in my closet. I like the feel of them. I saw my daddy wear them on countless occasions. And so these boots that look ordinary to the world or even of no value, they're a great sacred treasure to me. And this is my dad's hat. My dad in the fall would always wear a felt hat, generally a Stetson hat. And in the summer, he would wear a straw hat. I hardly ever saw my dad without a hat on, wearing his boots, and always in his pocket, he had a knife. I mean, my dad was a cowboy. He didn't go anywhere without a knife. After all, he might need to cut you, you know, or cut something. But he always had these items. So I keep these items. This in my drawer, because I feel my dad's hand on the handle. And I keep these in my closet because they remind me of my father. These ordinary items to me have become sacred. Well, in just a moment, we're going to take a little wafer of bread, and we're going to take a cup. And it's my prayer that you will not take these items, but they will take you. They will take you into the presence of God because they are sacred. I don't know what you're dealing with today. Maybe you're fighting an addiction. Maybe you've got a legal issue out there. Maybe there's been a relationship rupture. Maybe you're in a financial fiasco. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I can tell you this. As you touch these sacred elements, the bread and the cup, and you're transported into God's presence, I want you to take whatever you're dealing with and take it straight to the Father because He is here. You see, He is here, and He wants to not only minister to you, but minister through you. But let's set the table as we come to Luke 22, starting in verse 7. Then came the day of the unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city of Jerusalem, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. You shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they departed and found everything just as Jesus told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And having taken a cup, when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Now, in just a moment, our deacons are going to uncover this table. And Jeff and Ben, if you would do that for us right now. Now, technically, this table is owned by First Baptist Church, but it's the Lord's table. And I want to extend to you a precious invitation of participation. You see, we have open communion here. That simply means that anybody is welcome to take of this communion if you have given your life to Jesus Christ. If you know what it means to call him Lord and Savior, you are qualified to come and dine at his table on this special day when we remember what we hold in common. In just a moment, you will take this tiny wafer of bread and then followed by the cup. But I want you to understand that these are symbols of the sacred. They are sacred because they link you to what Jesus has done on your behalf. As Jesus gathered the disciples together and they had communion, they instituted a very special remembrance meal. We learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that the Corinthians were coming together and they were not observing the meal properly. And Paul chastised them. He said, before you come and eat supper, you better clean up. You better cleanse your hearts. So right now, would you join your heart with mine as we pray? Gracious Father, we come very humbly and very intentionally into your holy presence to offer you our deepest gratitude. Father, thank you for what you did on that bloody cross. Thank you for becoming sin on our behalf so we could be made right with you. Lord, thank you for becoming a sacrifice and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Lord, we want to tell you we love you. And we ask right now that you would turn on the searchlight of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. And if we have attitudes, relationships, actions, consistent reactions and habits that don't look like you, Father, would you yank them out by their filthy roots? We don't want fresh flesh fruits to denigrate our spirit and to pull us away from you. Father, cleanse us right now and prepare our hands and our hearts to take these sacred symbols of your love and sacrifice. It's in the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. And they took the bread.
Thank you.
a moment, activate your imagination and transport yourself to that upper room in Jerusalem. The disciples had gathered, and Jesus, he was craving fellowship with them. He knew he needed their sustaining encouragement because he was on his last lap, and it would be a brutal lap, a grueling lap, where he would be so abused, beaten, and then crucified. And he needed their fellowship for their refreshing of his spirit. So he took the Passover element. It's the unleavened bread, because Moses said, leave Egypt in a hurry. You don't even have time to let the bread rise. Just make like a tortilla, a flat cake bread. And that's why the Passover bread was just exactly like this. There was no leaven or yeast in it. And so Jesus took that bread and he broke it apart. And he said, in the same way this bread is being broken, I'm going to be broken for you. Well, there were no bones broken on the body of Jesus, but his life systems were broken as they drained the blood from his body and treated him so cruelly. And so he said, every time you take this bread, I want you to be reminded of what you'll see in just a few hours, how I'll be brutalized for you. So I would suggest for us in this moment, this bread is the bread of blessing. Oh, it was a blasting for Jesus, but it's the ultimate blessing for us. So I would suggest in your imagination, you almost see this bread as a piece of paper, a thank you note. And as you take it, say, oh, Lord Jesus, I owe you everything. Thank you for what you've done for me. I am so grateful for the gifts that you've given to me, and especially the gift of life eternal through your sacrifice. Acknowledging the bread, let's now take it together. John 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever takes that bread will never die. And then Jesus took the cup, and he explained to the disciples that this cup of the Passover would now have a new meaning. This would be the new covenant in his blood. As Jesus looked ahead, he knew that he would be beaten severely. He would lose most of the blood in his body. And he compared the cup to his blood. And the blood, we learn in Hebrews chapter 6, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of our sin. So that's what Jesus did. He was telling the disciples that this was not an ordinary cup, but it was a symbol of his blood and the new covenant that he would create with everyone who would choose to follow him. So now we take the cup. Thank you. It's a very special cup. Doesn't look like much, but you see it links to the sacred. It links to what Jesus has done on the cross on our behalf. Jesus said it's the new covenant. A covenant is essentially a contract, and it always requires two parties. Jesus said, I'll do my part. I love you so much that I'll die for you. I will shed my blood on your behalf. So what is your part? You should call this the cup of commitment. And it simply means that you should do what's prescribed in Romans chapter 12. You should become a living sacrifice. You should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the perfect will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect as you live every day for the Lord. He gave himself for you, so you give yourself back to him. And they took the cup.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.